Welcome to District 32 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better. Increasingly, I find when I'm out and about that we seem to have just lost that sense of community. It's the Facebooks, it's the LinkedIn, and that's where we kind of hang out. And I'm a bit of a social person. I like the face-to-face, the contact. I like people seeing people and they give me a hug and say good day. That's, I know that sounds a little crazy and a little unmodern, but I'm kind of maybe just an old-fashioned kind of person. That sense of connection is super important to me, and I think it's really important for establishing healthy communities. To discover more about that today, we have got Chantelle St. James. She has this incredible idea that's just getting some traction called Connect Australia. Chantelle, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us here today.
Absolutely. What a fantastic model. Connect Australia. Is it as simple as it sounds? You were literally trying to connect Australia?
Sure, it is. It is that simple. And obviously, in society today, we are very much online and we're trying to bring it back. And back to the face-to-face and back to the where can I meet someone, how can I move away from this isolated lifestyle, where can I actually feel self-worth as opposed to just, oh, how many people like me on Facebook or, you know, how popular am I today, and really having those highs and lows that come with that side of things and really knowing the value of true friendship where somebody wants to be there and they are there because they worry about you, they care about you. And that's the whole idea behind us and creating our hubs and overall what we will come to, which will be our community care cycle that we're trying to achieve.
Something you said in there just really struck with me. It's how popular am I today? Because it is, it's that Facebook thing is, it's what happened on my latest post. You don't worry about it, how many people have commented and this and that. And it becomes this measure of my life.
I can say, me personally, where I've been through highs and lows, I mean, I ride the wave. I've done that too. But even just through running my hub, the first hub that we have up in Alkimos, the Alkimos Connect Hub, you know, I see the value of that friendship and I don't really care too much about social media. I have less time for it. We all look after each other. We all creating activities that mean that if we're having a bad day, let's go focus on, you know, working out, hurting our muscles, or knitting, or crocheting, or sewing, and just listening and talking, just distracting our mind if that's what we need, or sitting in a cafe having coffee, or in the hub and having a coffee, and talking about getting out those bad things, getting out that bad day, and just feeling better about it when we're all, you know, together and moving on from the topic. We refreshing the mind, refreshing the body, and sort of just going, oh, well, what can we do about it?
It sounds like you're almost creating a space or trying to create a space where people are allowed to be that little bit vulnerable.
Definitely. The greatest successes in the hub to date, I will say, is that people are comfortable enough to sit there in a group situation and cry if that's how they feel for the day, or, you know, be dancing around with their children on the floor and having a great time. It's a safe space, and that's the whole idea. We want the places to be safe, you to be a real person. You are real and you have good days and you have bad days, and we're there for both.
How important is it to be able to find a space or create a space like that when it comes to coping with things, with personal resilience to challenges?
I think the spaces are important, but I will be honest and say, to get the engagement and to get people to be in a space where there are other people and to be okay with feeling the way that they feel is probably our greatest challenge. And to get people to come to the space and meet new people, because it's such a foreign thing these days to go and meet somebody you don't already know, that you don't have connection to. And where we are is a developing community, so lots of people are isolated from their family, you know, their way out, as everyone likes to say, in South Geraldton.
Yeah. And you are, it's like two Cokes and a cut lunch to get to you.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, we're not that accessible, you know, or family is an hour away or 45 minutes away, and so you need that community family, you need those people that are 5 or 10 minutes down the road, and it means that you need to at some stage find that strength and walk into a group of people or a group of mums or a group of over 55s that you've never met before and start afresh on ground. But I would say from that, those that do, the relationships they build come quick and fast because it's a safe space and people trust.
So your main draw of people there, is it single mums? Is it people at home with their children? Is there a particular attracted person to this as a resource at the moment?
At the moment, probably where we are is young families and especially mums that are at home with the little ones. And I think that's just given the demographic where we are, up where we are. There's lots of young families and lots of young families that are financially struggling. And I suppose the hub is a social space that doesn't cost them an arm and a leg. And, you know, we try and do what we can with them. But we do have, to the flip side, an overs generation, which we can't capture through social media. And they are a different form of isolated because up where we are, there's not a whole bunch of community activity for them yet. They have to drive to, you know, 30, 45 minutes for a craft group or an art group that is up our way. And
you are in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, we are. And I think it's important that we recognise that obviously our capture of the younger generation is going to be faster because we can reach them through our social media. Mm. And our overs generations, it's going to take more time because we need to physically be out there in the community, getting to know them, finding out where they are and trying to bring them out of their homes. A lot of them are stuck in their ways and have their friends, but they're a long way away. And so it's just about slowly, one by one, we meet them, we say hi, we say come on in and sort of draw them that way. So different approaches and very contrasting sort of areas that we have come in. But we are trying to bring them together through some intergenerational activity. And so far, so good.
Yep. I think, talking of isolating people with social media, it was something which drifted through, I think it was either my Facebook or my LinkedIn feed the other day. And I remember watching it thinking, what a brilliant idea. And it was Norway or Sweden or somewhere a bit out there or a bit, you know, more progressive. And they've actually got a childcare centre and a aged care centre cohabitating.
Yeah.
So you've got the 50 years, an aged care centre which has been set up to allow, to have a creche, a childcare centre there. And they spend this time every day getting to know them. They found that it's increased the mobility and the interaction of their aged, what are they called? Not occupants, tenants.
The people that live
the people
there.
That they're older people. And they're playing with the younger children. And the kids are loving it because it's grandparent time, effectively. And because they're so often removed from their grandparents, they've got this hole and they're playing ball and they've got this incredible patience and they're solving problems and they're solving puzzles. But it's benefited both generations.
It does benefit both. And that's a huge part of the research that we've done. And the intergenerational activity does have huge benefit to the overs, 100% huge benefit to them, not just physically but mentally as well. But also in terms of the younger generation, they do see that patient and there's the patients and there's less frustration around when they're learning from them especially. So for instance, we have our knitting group and or our craft group, we like to call it, where we do the knitting, sewing and crocheting, you know, for the homeless and for the kids that are in hospital and all sorts of things that we have going on around that.
So there's a purpose to the activity. It's not just knitting for knitting's sake.
No, that's right. So we have outcomes and feel-good moments that come from it, which all tie into our mental health and what we're trying to achieve, that people feel good from something that they're doing or an activity that they're participating. But we have an age range of year three down, you know, up to 80 come in and knit, and probably so far our fabulous teacher in knitting is a blind lady. She is the most wonderful teacher, so patient and beautiful technique, taught me. I can say I lead by example, but also taught one of our beautiful little girls, Sophia. She is year three and she's learned to knit.
But that got an extra bonus is not only has Sophia learned a skill, which perhaps she was, she's also now working on something she can perfect and be proud of, which works on, of course, her self-esteem and her value in the space. also it gives her an ability to interact with an adult, but an adult with a disability, which is an extra bonus to breaking down those barriers, creating that sense of community, because her exposure to someone who is perhaps blind or has autism or has whatever else could be very limited if it doesn't exist within her family. Was she not part of that space?
Yeah, no, that's right. And I think it's opening up that to everything, even my young ones that come in and have met Janet and her guide dog, for instance. You know, what do you do with a guide dog? What are the rules? Nobody knows that. That's not a known thing. And we were just so lucky that she came in. I met her son. Her son came in for a coffee in the hub one day, and I told him about the program that was starting, and he said, my mum's a fabulous knitter. And so he brings her down every week, and we've all learnt about what we can and can't do around the puppy, and like everyone wants to pat him and feed him and do all those wonderful things.
Yeah, it's not a toy. The dog is working, yeah.
So, I mean, that's one lesson that we learned that was nothing to do with the knitting and the crocheting was harness on, don't touch, don't talk, pretend he's not there, harness off, we can pat and play like he's a puppy. And so obviously there's other valuable lessons that come from it, but there's such a sense of community and inclusion that is built just around that one thing. It actually covers that one group is probably my favorite to date. And that's not because of the people that come or anything like that, but it's because it hits all three of our objectives. Mm-hmm. As an organization, it meets the mental health knitting and the research that we've done, and crocheting is very much the same. It puts the mind into a state of almost meditation. They can't, people can't think of anything else really. They have to be concentrated on the task that they're doing. And essentially, we have designed a outreach program for schools around it to get the younger generations to switch off, and we call it switch off, cast on. Nice. So we've done all the research, the benefits to both groups and what we're trying to achieve. So that's one part of it. And then we meet our social welfare in that our purposes, what we are knitting, sewing and crocheting for. And I was just really lucky in terms of sewing that one of my girlfriends from Wrapped in Love, her son has had cancer before and I've worked with her before. And so we sew blankets for the children at PMH and her charity to give them. But there's a sense that comes from it. There's a social welfare sense and there's the achievement that we're talking. And then we have the intergenerational learning and it's working. I mean, what am I? I'm 28. I had no idea how to knit or crochet. I've got ladies in there that are, you know, 40, no idea how to knit, crochet or sew.
And people would go, it's a redundant skill. What am I going to do with this? Why would I want to knit? I can go down and buy something for whatever.
It's not that. It's I can go down and buy it cheaper than for what it costs me to make it. And that might be true. But the thing is, we don't want to lose skills and we want to teach skills. So, I mean, at the moment, it's intergenerational learning in that the older generation's teaching the younger. But we will come to a point where we've got that engagement and the younger will teach the older. Technology is horrendous for older people. And I think there's a lot to learn and a lot to teach each other. And nobody wants to lose anything. Nobody wants to be left behind. And that's why we focus on it.
So how on earth did you get to this point? Because as you're saying, this is quite a new venture. So we just decided one day that this was a good idea. Was there a need you identified? What were you doing before?
Well, for me, actually, the space we're in now was a big saviour for me. So it was a cafe. Very new when I started there. I'd never done cafe life before. Never. Not my thing.
So your cafe?
My cafe or our hub, our Kamos Connect hub where we are now. That was Blueberry Cafe back in the day. I say that, but 3 years ago roughly.
When you were doing the bridal age of 25, yeah. Yes.
But I'd had my son. And he would have been about 5.5 months. He was my second baby, but it was a really difficult journey. My mum passed away when he was 8 weeks old, and I really struggled with that. I struggled being a mum, I struggled not being a mum, I struggled with pretty much just where everything sat. And so when he was 5.5 months, in contrast to staying at home with my daughter, I was like, I can't be at home all of the time. I can't do this. I just knew for my mental health and well-being, I just couldn't do it. I felt like I was going insane. I'm not an insane person, but I did feel that way. I just felt like I can't keep doing this. I feel like I'm going around in circles. And so I was just lucky enough to go up there when it first opened, and they gave me an opportunity. I said, sure, come and work. And I suppose while I was there, it was amazing for my mental health. I could still, you know, do all those things, breastfeed, go and see my son who was at the daycare next door, and do that throughout my day and my shift. And so it worked for my lifestyle, but I identified a lot while I was there, and that it wasn't a busy cafe. It lost a lot of money, but those that came, they needed it. And it was never a place of, this is a buzzing and amazing cafe, but it was always a place of, I'm here because I like this relationship. I like this conversation. I need connection. I feel like I'm isolated here. And that was what I learned from it. And then, you know, there were points where I've stepped away and gone back in and out of the cafe, more for my personal situations, where I've had to go back to, I like to call it my real
job.
Real job,
yeah. Yeah, we've all got one of those. Yeah, all had one of those.
You know, where I've had to do that for my family, but always come back to it. Always come back to it. And there came a point where I wanted to do this and I didn't know how I was going to, but there was a space, which is not the space I'm in now, and it came up and I put together this amazing proposal. And I can say that. I can genuinely say it was amazing. We were talking community gardens and all sorts of beautiful outdoor activity. You know, we covered our youth, we covered our rovers, we did everything, and it got rejected.
Blow.
And it was a blow to me, and I'm one of those people where I go, I can't fail. No way.
This is unacceptable.
You can't say no to me. And that's where I started on the journey of, no, this is a great idea. The community needs this, and every community needs it. How it looks is different, but every community needs a space that brings it all together. And so I went, no. And I literally that night got on my computer, registered a new business, registered a new not-for-profit, and put it through the application process. So it was only late last year that we got approved, and with the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profit Commission. And then by December, I'd had enough of my real-life job, and I said, okay. And then I met in January with the lovely gentleman that owned the space and said, you know, where's it at? What's going on? They said, we're shutting it down. We're turning it into more medical. And I went, no, you can't do that. I was like, you cannot do that.
They're
like,
people don't need more medical.
And they said, Chantel, you can have it. We'll give it to you for X period of time. If you want to try what you want to try, you can have it. Connect Australia can have it, but you need to tell us now. You need to make the decision now. And I will tell you this, I was in the middle of a life upcycle. I was moving away from everything normal, and I had to quit my full-time job if I wanted to do it. And it was daunting. It was really daunting to go, yep, I'm doing it. I have no financial backing. I have no plan, but I'll take it. And I did. And I said, I'll take it. And even up until first week in there, I kept doing my full-time job at the same time as running it because I was in a state of disbelief.
Sometimes you have to just believe.
And after that week, I went, no, I can't do this, and handed in the resignation and went, we're doing this. If we're doing it, we're doing it. And
you're doing it.
And we're doing it.
So lots of print.
Somehow.
So is there a lot of transferable skills from what you're supposed to be doing in your real job to what you're doing now?
Sure. So my job is business. Well, I'm a bit of a mix. So I came from job services, which is very community driven in that you're dealing with people without work and looking at training and different avenues for them.
That's still the empathetic, practical approach to solving issues which just sit in that space. Yep.
Yeah. So I did that when I pretty much came out of school, and I did it for 4 years. So very good at it, enjoyed it, moved into the training space with that. Done funding and development for big companies and recruitment, workforce planning. So a lot of business type stuff is kind of my background. But I think, you know, that's where my board come in, and they were a really good push in that I knew about community development and how it worked, and a lot of the connectors in terms of, we don't expect to succeed as Connect Australia alone. That's not at all our objective.
Otherwise it wouldn't be connected, would they?
Otherwise, that would be Soul Australia. We are it. Come to us.
Silo Australia, and that would be,
So, we expect to do it. And that's where I think community partnerships are amazing for us. And we walked into our hub having a lot of them. We have Five Senses Coffee, who decided that they would be a beautiful community partner to make sure we could get off the ground, Harvey Fresh, and they both still to date are with us to make sure we can at least serve caffeine and
and that those who take milk can take milk.
And we give out free community milk as well, so making sure those that may not be able to access it one week in the community, they can. So there's a lot more of that sort of thing that we want to get going. But that was how we started. And we went, yep, we can do this. We can walk in there and take it on, because we had two beautiful community partners and we're 5 months in and they're still with us. Now we have District 32 and, the support is growing, slowly but growing.
So from a support point of view, what do you actually need? Do you need people who are happy to run sports programs? Is that the sort of support you need? Do you need financial support? What does that look like for them? What does the future of this look like to succeed?
Well, for us initially, it's financial support. So we want to know in terms of where we are that we can keep it. The medical centre next door, Alchemos Medical Centre, has been amazing in that they've given us the space for 6 months, but they're business people as well and they need to move past that, and at some stage we need to pay them for it. So initially financial support, but what we are trying to build in a community and in general in communities is a community care cycle. So it's really a give and take approach. So we want everyone to think about themselves or think about someone else for, even if it's just 15 minutes a week or an hour a week or whatever it might be that you're willing to give up. But that just doesn't stand for people themselves. It's the businesses in our local community. It's the rec in our community. It's the schools in our communities as well. It's about giving and taking, or taking and giving, whichever way you want to look at it.
Well, I suppose that some people are at a point where they need to take. We've got to a point where I need something. Someone needs to help me. And then as they recover, they get to a point where they can then go, right, okay, I'm good now. I can give back. So sometimes it does need to be that take first. Sometimes, and that's absolutely okay.
And that's okay. And people reach that stage in life. And I suppose that's where the hub becomes our, what do we call it? It's our base. We need it. So we actually need to keep it. And that's why we say financial initially. But our care cycle is that we don't want to rely on government funding streams or anyone's funding streams. Eventually we want to run as our own. And I don't mean that from a sense of we want to take everyone's money and become a really successful cafe. The idea is we have outreach programs and we have businesses and recreation and schools that have programs that branch out from the hub. But the idea, for instance, being with a rec club or a sports club. So we have a local martial arts club. I'm not going to say outlandishly pricey, because that's just my opinion of it.
Who doesn't value martial art? Yeah.
But I know that it's brilliant and I can see what they do and I can see their participation. But it's things like approaching them and saying, right, for every 10 children that you have paid there, you know, can you give up one position for a family that is struggling and in need? And, you know, we don't want to isolate those children at a young age, or we don't even want to isolate adults at an older age. It doesn't really matter. But the idea is that they give up that one opportunity. They go, okay, I can think past myself. I can think past my business revenue for that one person, and I can provide that opportunity. And that's where our hub becomes a base where, you know, we can, in return, advertise for them. We can put up a flyer or a card or something on our screen advertising their business in return for, you know, the position. And then we start to develop things like scholarship programs.
That's what it sounds like. Because you don't want to go, oh, these are the 9 children who pay and you're the one which doesn't. You don't want to because that can be just as isolating to participate, but in an isolated spot because you're the special one. You want them to be almost not to know, the rest of the class not to know that that's where that child sits.
And that's exactly right. And that's why we want to be more of a brokerage point for it and to develop sponsorship programs. But we also don't want them to be taken advantage of.
No.
And so the hub is there so that we know and we have the relationships with the different people, the schools, the, you know, the community in general, and we really are getting to know everyone. We are the network place, and so when we hand out that scholarship or that position, we know it's for a genuine need.
And it's almost an under the counter sort of
kind
of thing.
And it is, and it is, and it's never going to be an open, oh, here's your scholarship, or we're handing out scholarships for people, or anything like that. But the idea is that we can have a completely inclusive community, and you know, there are drug and alcohol issues, there are homeless issues up where we are, there are families that are struggling to feed themselves, and so we want to create, you know, something for everyone. And if you've got a child at school and there's drug and alcohol issues at home, there's no way that the priority is going to be, oh, let me spend $100 a month and put my child into sport, because that's not how it works. Or, you know, a lot of the time people aren't going to say, oh, no, I can't afford food this week. Do you know what I mean? So we want it to be a safe space where there are certain days where we don't have the hub open, and we're looking at doing things like food boxes. But we want local businesses to put in for that. So it
doing that respectfully is challenging, which I guess is where hooking into the school and the pastoral care providers within that space is how you can get this information in a way that is non-confrontational, supportive, achieves what you want to achieve without, you know, calling them out, so to speak.
That's right, that's right. And the schools are a huge one that you need to engage. You need to know what's going on. But we want to give back to them as well. We don't just want a whole bunch of information from them. And that's why we're looking at our outreach programs for them. But also, even in the hub, we have a space where we've converted it to an art wall, which currently have over 55's artwork, trying to, you know, help them build some revenue and bring in some extra money that they need, cash flow. But next term, it'll be put out to the schools so that the children, the youth, probably more high school at this stage, are given the opportunity, if they want to enter an art piece, and put it up, and if they want to, put a price tag on it and see if anyone in the community wants to purchase it. We're going to look at starting things like tutoring and mentoring programs, so we start to get to know those that are struggling a little bit in the communities and really building those partnerships with the schools. So before we take from them, we're giving, and that's the whole idea.
That sounds amazing, amazingly excellent. So if we've got people out there who are listening going, actually, I can contribute to that. I've got a business which can help, or we've got some, maybe, you know, coming towards the end of the financial year here, a bit of extra cash that I don't really need. What's the best way of them getting in contact with you?
Definitely via email at the moment. Or
we have a webpage issue, yeah.
We're not quite there with our webpage, but we will be very soon. We've got our domain. Or Facebook. You can even Facebook us. We're everywhere on Facebook, but if you don't want to go down that avenue, you don't have to. But you can find us, connectaustralia.org.au at Facebook, or Alchemos Connect Hub. We're all the same. Alchemos Connect Hub just falls under Connect Australia. So we trade under that.
Email you directly?
Email me directly. info@connectaustralia.org.au, or you can even call me, but I don't really know if I should put my number out there.
We'll stick with the email for a minute. Okay, cool. So the .org being the important part, that you're not a .com.au, the .org, because people automatically put in email addresses. So it's info@connectaustralia.org.au, for those of you listening and scribbling quickly. that way, because otherwise it's almost worth buying the other domain to redirect it, isn't it?
Maybe. Look, we do have our domain. It's www.connectaustralia.org.au. We just need to get a working laptop so that we can connect our web to our domain, because we have both. We just don't have them connected.
Well, there you go. Maybe that's the first piece of assistance.
Anyone out there that is an IT guru, please help me.
Right. Okay. We'll make sure we put that in there. Well, so excellent to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time. I think that is an amazing venture, and it's just going to change the world.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.